Turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. What is the primary attribute of a sinner that comes to Christ? What's the primary attribute of a sinner that comes to Christ? They're needy. Needy. Oh, it's the fact of our need to be saved from our sins. And as the Holy Spirit shows us through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching of His word proclaiming salvation in and through Christ alone, and redemption by His precious, precious blood, it's only by then, by the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, that we see our desperate need for Christ. And we see that He is all we need. Is He not, beloved? Is He not all we need? All in all. Amen. He's everything. And this desperate need is born of desolation, beloved, and ruin, as the Holy Spirit shows us that we're nothing but fallen sinners with such great sinfulness. And then He shows us the great Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who a sinner needs. The only thing that a sinner really needs is Christ. When Hannah was speaking in terms of the Lord killing and making alive, of making hungry and filling, she's not merely stating facts, beloved. She's setting forth the manner and the method of grace. God's grace, we who are the God's people know, is stripping grace, isn't it? It strips us down to nothing. It strips us from our pride, thinking we can save ourselves. It strips us from our self-righteousness. It leaves us in the dust, beloved. And we don't move from there, do we? As Scott Richardson said, we make our headquarters in the dust after the Lord saves us. We are nothing, and He is everything. Everything. But it takes the power of God to take a rebel and turn him into a saint. It takes the power of God to take a stiff-necked people and make us willing in the day of His power. It takes the power of God to make a born-again, blood-washed saint of God, washed in the blood of Christ. Washed in the precious blood of Christ. And it all comes about because of God's almighty power and God's almighty grace, beloved. And we are but recipients of this magnificent salvation that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most stripping doctrine in the Scriptures is the doctrine of God's grace, because it leaves nothing up to us at all. It strips us right down to nothing. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that faith that we are given has one object, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And God's grace will bring the recipient of His grace to know that they have nothing to offer God. Is that not true? Has that not happened to us, beloved? Have we not been brought to the point where we now know that we have nothing to offer to God to gain merit and salvation by anything we do? And now we've been taught by the Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit, we've been taught the things of Christ. We've been taught the perfect sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ is finished. It's done. There's nothing for us to do but just to look to Christ by faith. And it's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Everything we need has been provided. Do you know He's defeated all our enemies, beloved? When Christ died on the cross, He defeated all the enemies of God's people. Everything that was against us, He crushed Satan's head. The law of God was against us. The wrath of God should have fell upon us. The justice of God demanded payment for our sins, and He paid it all. So much so that when He cried, "It is finished," it is perfect in the Greek. It's perfect. My, what a wonderful salvation we have in Christ, beloved. So we now know that there's nothing we can do, say, or perform for our salvation. It's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, now let's read the first two verses of 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Now remember, they're being besieged by the great Syrian army. A great Syrian army. And they have no food. So much so that they're eating unclean animals. And we saw last week they've reverted to cannibalism. And Elijah makes this proclamation. He says, "Thus saith the Lord." This is the Lord saying this through Elijah. "Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Pennies. They're going to be pennies. "Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof.'" You're going to see it. And we're going to see, we won't see this tonight, we'll see this next week, that man was trampled by the crowd going out of the gate. Next in our text, we're going to read verses 3 to 11. Next in our text, we are introduced to four unnamed lepers. Four unnamed lepers. Could be any one of us, beloved. Because we're going to see that they're a picture of God's children. They're pictures of sinners. Look at this. And they discover that the Syrians have fled. They discover the Syrians have fled. And then they eat and feast in the tents of the Syrians. And then what do? Then they go and tell others. They go and tell others of this great bounty of God that awaits those who come out of the city and seek it. Now let's read verses 3 to 11. "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also.'" Excuse me. "Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, there was no man there. What happened to them? Look at verse 6. "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.'" Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Look at that. They left everything behind. Everything. They didn't even take the horses. Wouldn't you think you'd jump on a horse? You think so, right? Nope, they left it all behind. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. Look at that. These guys are starving. They're starving just like the people in the city. But they're lepers, they can't go into the city, can they? Oh my, they're starving. But look at what they're eating and drinking. And carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. They got a bunch of gold and silver and clothes. And they're like, let's dig a hole over here. We need to keep this stuff. We'd all do it, wouldn't we? Right? We'd all do it. It's not thievery. It's just sitting there. Right? Brother Tim J says, is this thievery? No. The Lord scanned them all out and it's just sitting there. It's theirs for the taking, isn't it? Oh my. Oh my. They carried these silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried that also. Hey, Dave, let's go get some more, man. Saying, come on, man. Brian, there's the four of us. Come on, let's go get some more. We gotta bury some more. Oh, it's totally us, isn't it? It's totally us. We'd all do the same thing. Oh, my. And carried thence also and went and hit it. They did the same thing again. Oh, my. Now here, look at this. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, and that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city and told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Sorry. Let us ponder what we just read. Four leprous men. What a picture we have before us of the grace and mercy of God, abounding to the worst of sinners, the worst of mankind. We know we were born dead in trespasses and sins, and that leprosy is a picture of sin. We were born cursed and unwanted and unwashed in our natural state. My, oh my. And the four lepers were Jews, and they had to remain outside the camp, didn't they? Here they are, the Syrians are besieging this great city, and these poor lepers are stuck outside. They can't go inside. They're lepers. They can't go to the Syrian camp. They figure they're going to die. But if they stay where they are, they're going to starve to death, aren't they? Look at verse 3. And there were four lepers, men at the entering into the gate. That's where they were. Tucked into the gate. Not in the city, but tucked in by the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? What are we doing? Be like us sitting around, Dave, you going to Zane and Brian and I, why are we sitting here? Why are we just sitting here dying? And these four lepers are starving, just like the multitudes inside. They were just as much victims of the siege and the desolation as those inside. Look at verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine's in the city. So they're not getting anywhere by going into the city, are they? because it's we saw last week they reverted to cannibalism, some of them. And we shall die there. No one's going to help a leper. That's the last person anyone's going to help, isn't it? Is a leper. And if we sit still here, we die also. So death staring in their face if they stay where they are. Death staring in their face if they go into the city. And we will see here, death staring in their face if they go to the Syrian camp. Look at this. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Hey, we're already going to die. Why not go to the Syrians? They've got what we need, don't they? Nothing in the city can help us. Why not go? What's the worst thing they're going to do? They're going to kill us. Well, death's there, death's here, and death's in front of us. The old-time theologians calls these four lepers sensible sinners. Sensible sinners. Through the hand of providence, they had nothing to lay hold of. All they had before them was the cruel, rightful death that awaited them. Oh, many die in their sin without any sensibility of their estate. Right? And though, even though their case is just as dire as these lepers, they say, I'm okay. I got all this stuff. I got money to pay for doctors. I'll tell you what. When your time is up and my time is up, and whoever's listening to this message, their time is up, there is nothing in this world that will stop that time. That's an appointment that none of us are going to miss. Right? But think of this. These lepers were doubly sensible of their plight. They were doubly sensitive to what situation they were in. First, they were by a horrible disease, unwelcome in the city, and they had a death sentence upon them already. Right? There's no cure for leprosy at this time. You get leprosy, it's a death sentence. So they already were facing death, weren't they? They already were. And wherever they went, they would have to throw dust up in the air and cry, unclean! Unclean! And even they had to watch, they had to cover their mouths, beloved, so that their spit and saliva wouldn't infect somebody. This disease was so contagious that way. No one could draw nigh unto them. That's why it's so amazing. When the Lord touched that leper, because you touched a leper, it was a death sentence. But the Almighty God, man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, when that leper said, Lord, thou can make me clean, he said, I will, and he touched him. Oh, what a touch! And immediately the leprosy was gone and nothing happened to our Lord, because he's perfect. He's sinful. He's sinless. And we are so sinful, right? Our sins are imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he bears them all. But death couldn't hold him. He rises from the grave, doesn't he? He rises from the grave, beloved. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Redeemer. And secondly, leprosy, again, is a death sentence. There's no cure available. There's no cure available for these men. They've already got a death sentence on them. So when they said, well, what's the worst that can happen to us if we go to the Syrian camp? We're going to die. They already know they have a death sentence. What a picture. What a picture. They were as good as dead, without any hope. And without any help in this world. That's how we were before the Lord saved us, weren't we? We didn't know we were God's people, but we were without hope. Right? We had help and we didn't know it. But we were without hope. I was without hope. So what a picture we have here set before us of a poor, needy sinner. These four lepers are pictures of four needy sinners. And they got a death sentence. Every person in this world, there's a death sentence. There's an appointed time when we are going to leave this world. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. My, oh my. So what a picture we have of hopeless sinners here. Conditions and circumstances that we see here mirror the debilitating effects of sin and how we are all worthy of the wrath of God. But beloved, we don't get what we deserve. Isn't that wonderful? Because Christ bore that for us. And God's grace reveals. What does it reveal to us when we first hear the gospel and even when we keep hearing the gospel? What does it reveal to us? Well, it reveals that there's hope for the worst sinner in Christ. Right? And you know how we save? We know that because he saved me. John Newton, someone came to him and said, This notorious, one of the worst sinners supposedly in the town. Oh, the Lord just saved such and such. And he says, doesn't surprise me. The Lord saved me. He can save anybody he pleases. Is that not true? We're monuments of his grace, aren't we? We're monuments to that fact, we who are his people. Oh, my. And grace informs us that God doesn't look upon his people in anger, but in love. Love, beloved. A love that's an everlasting love. And then we find out that God loves us as he loves Christ. And there's never been a time when he hasn't loved us. Isn't it wonderful? My. There's three points I'd like us to consider tonight. Number one, what they didn't know, what these lepers didn't know. Number two, what they did know. And number three, what they did. What they did. First, let us consider what they didn't know. Let's read verses 3 to 7 of 2 Kings chapter 7. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Well, we see something here that those lepers didn't know. We see in verse 4 and 5 that they didn't know that the Lord had routed and put their enemies on the run. Even the people in the city didn't know. Now these four lepers had suffered much at the hands of the Syrians. They were starving to death. It's bad enough that they're lepers, but they're starving lepers. And all they have in front of them is death. And let us always remember that our great God delivers his people. And when he delivers his people, two things take place. The first is the destruction of their enemies. We've seen that in our lives, haven't we? God takes care of his people. Now, it does not seem so for the believer in Christ. There's no natural indication that the siege of sin has ended in our lives, is there? There's no. What's the biggest enemy the Lord has delivered us from? Our sin. But in our natural state, there's no indication that we've been delivered from that, is there? Because we still battle sin every day, right? We're troubled on every side, from within and from without. Sin is all around us. Sin is within us. Oh, but let us ponder how faith overcomes that. And that's faith that's God-given. That's faith that has one object, the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith overcomes that knowledge of our sin and our sinfulness. Because the Word of God has assured us that the serpent's head is crushed. It has assured us, Dave, that all our sins are forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. That we're washed clean in the precious blood of Christ. The Scripture assures us that as believers, as born-again, blood-washed believers. It tells us in heaven forgiven all your trespasses and sins in Christ. Brother Brian, we hear our Savior's word. It is finished. This work's done. That's what the word tells us. It's finished. We've been redeemed, beloved, by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed how I what? I love to proclaim it. Oh, we're redeemed. And the word tells us that fact. Even though we battle with sin every day, this inward sin and outward sin that we see, we're battling with it every day. And yet, we're forgiven of all our sins. All of them, beloved. So much so that God says, I don't remember them anymore. Let that ponder that this week. God himself, who knows everything. Knows everything. Everything is before him. From beginning to end, he says, I don't remember your sins anymore. I do. He says, I don't. Okay, Lord. Okay. Help me just to rest in that truth. Help me to live in that truth. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, Christ has bruised the serpent's head. And the Scripture tells us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. People can scheme and do whatever they want. No weapon shall prosper against God's people. My, oh my. And think of this, hey, faith transcends all circumstances, doesn't it? It does. You know why? Because what we believe is not based upon us, it's based upon God's word. God has told us, Sister Linda, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. No matter what circumstance we go through, no matter what comes our way, He's promised us, as His people, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My. Do you see how faith transcends circumstances? But it's all by God keeping us, isn't it? And preserving us. But we do exercise our faith, don't we, beloved? And I'll tell you what, our faith is like a grain of mustard seed, right? But it's Him that preserves us. It's Him that keeps us. And we just keep trusting and resting in Him, don't we? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's so great. Yeah. Faith is based on what God said, not what we see. What was before these lepers? Death. That's all they saw. They saw death in the city. They saw death if they just sat there. They saw death if they went to the Syrian camp, didn't they? My, oh my. That's a picture of us in our natural state. Death awaits us. Oh my. Do you realize the whole time when we were lost that Christ had already paid for our sins? We didn't, did we? God knew though, didn't He? Yep. Amen. Everyone. He knows every single sheep. Every single one. Oh my. He'd already delivered us from our sins, hadn't He? Christ came into time and space, Zane, you and I have been talking about, to do that which was accomplished and purposed by God in eternity. It had to be done in time and space, didn't it? He had to come to redeem His people from their sins. His blood had to be shed to redeem us. Our sins had to be imputed to Him in order for us to be forgiven, to be made the righteousness of God, right? It had to happen, beloved. It had to. So He comes. And He finishes the work perfectly. And then He rises from the grave. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we will soon be there, beloved. Oh my. So these lepers, they feared that they would die if they stayed where they were. They feared that they would die if they went into the city. They feared if they would die if they went into the camp of the enemy. But what they did not know was that God had already taken care of them. He'd already taken care of them. Again, did we know that God the Son had already paid for our sins 2,000 years ago before we were saved? We knew we were facing certain death, didn't we? We knew that. Oh my. Look at verses 6 and 7 here again. For the Lord hath made... See, God had already taken care of the agenda. It's already finished. He's already provided for them. And they don't even know it. What a picture of us. Salvation's already provided for us. When we were born into this world and we had no idea. Growing up as teens, young men, we had no idea. Right? Young lady, in your teens, you had, you know. Well, thankfully the Lord revealed Himself to you, sister, earlier in age than us fellas here. But isn't that wonderful, though? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Look at this, verses 6 and 7. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Oh no, they've hired mercenaries. That's what they're saying. A lot of these countries would hire out their men as mercenaries. when they weren't at war with another country. It was a good way to bring in money. So what did the Syrians do? Look at verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was and fled for their life. Now these four lepers, they had no idea that God had routed the Syrians, had destroyed the Syrians basically. Those Syrians are running. They are so terrified, they are running. They had no idea that there was a great bounty waiting for them. Did we have any idea, Brother Dave, that there was a great bounty waiting for us in Christ? Woo, my! But there was! And we didn't even know it. All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We had no idea. We weren't even aware of it. It was the last thing on our radar. My, oh my. Handfuls on purpose, beloved. Remember Boaz dropped some handful on purpose for Ruth there. Pressed down, overflowing are the blessings that we have in Christ. And there was abundance of blessings waiting for those lepers. And they had no clue. They had no clue. In short, they didn't know what God had done, did they? They didn't know. They didn't know what God had done. They had no idea what awaited them. They just saw death in front of them. They saw death behind them. They saw death in the city. And they saw death right where they were. Basically, death surrounded them. My, oh my. But their salvation had already been accomplished, hadn't it? There's so much food in that camp. There's so much food that things are going to be sold for pennies on the dollar that day. There was such an abundance of food. Think of all the gold and silver. Think of all the horses, the donkeys, the armor. Think of the value of all that stuff. And this is not just a few tents. This is what Scripture says is a great host. So much so it surrounded them. Think of what's waiting out there. Amen. Look what's waiting for us in Christ, eh? Oh my. It's wonderful. You're getting the heart of it, Dave. Hey, all we need right there. They don't even know it. Everything they need is right there. They don't even know it. Oh, my. My, oh, my. God had already accomplished that what they needed. It's already done. There are no enemies there anymore. They're gone. They're gone. All that awaits them is that bounty. Oh, in Christ, the sinner finds all spiritual blessings. And then they find they have a home in heaven. Undefiled, right? An inheritance that cannot be defiled by us. Where rust and moss can't get at it. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed, beloved, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't know, think of this too, these lepers didn't know about the prophet's words. Look at the prophet's words again in verse 1 and 2 here. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Look at that. They didn't know that Elijah said that. They're outside the gate. They had no clue. They had no clue. Oh my. You know, we had no clue about the words that Christ spoke when he said, "All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast in." Did we know those words? before the Lord saved us? We were totally unaware of the prophet's words, weren't we? Now we know them by God's grace, don't we? Now they've been revealed to us and we rejoice. Oh my. What a sweet picture we see here. What a sweet picture. The feast is already laid out. We will dine at the marriage supper of the Lamb, beloved. It's already laid out. It's already laid out. What a sweet picture we see here of the gospel. God has already provided all we need. All we need. What a picture of the declaration of what God has done in Christ Jesus. The salvation of God's people is accomplished. It's finished. It's complete. And Christ has defeated all our enemies, beloved. All our enemies. How? By His complete, perfect, finished work on Calvary's cross as a substitute for sinners, as a substitute for God's people. And the saved sinner finds in Christ all we need. As you said earlier, brother, all we need. Where do we find the forgiveness of all our sins? Justification before God. Redemption by the precious blood of Christ, that He's purchased us out from under the law by the shedding of His precious blood. And that law had a claim on us. Doesn't have no claim anymore. Free. Now we're free in Christ. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition, right? Oh, what a happy condition that is. My. Justification before God. We can now enter into the presence of God. God sees us clothed in His Son's perfect righteousness, the best robe. Just remember the Father said, bring out the best robe. Bring the best robe. What a picture of the righteousness of Christ. And put it on Him. Well, God put on us the righteousness of Christ, beloved. Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And what do we say? We say, praise be to God. All this comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His mighty name. Praise His mighty name. God Himself in the flesh has accomplished this. This salvation. He's obtained it by His perfect, complete, finished work. It's done. And He died as a substitute of His people on Calvary's cross. As God's wrath was poured out upon Him. As everything that the law demanded for the salvation of ourselves, the payment for our souls, He accomplished it all, having obtained eternal salvation for us. And it's eternal. You know why it's eternal? Because it's God's salvation. It's God's salvation. No man-made salvation can ever save anyone. And that's what works is. That's what works-based religion is, man-made salvation. All it can do is damn a soul to hell. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. Marvel at this, that we, like these lepers in our natural state, we do not know that we need Christ in our natural state. We don't know that. We think we're fine. We think, well, I'm fine. I don't need to be forgiven. But meanwhile, for God's elect, salvation is already finished. And then God reveals to us Christ. And we see how we're great sinners in desperate need of Christ. And then the balm of Gilead is revealed to us. Christ Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. And what do? We praise His name for the rest of our lives, don't we? And it ain't going to stop after we die. It's going to keep going when we get into glory. I'm going to be able to sing when I get to glory. Hallelujah. We'll be singing perfectly, Dave. Perfect. Oh, my. We'll be looking at our Redeemer, our Savior, praising His mighty name. Oh, my. My, oh, my. And it all comes about. It all comes about. These lepers didn't know that God had already delivered them from their enemies. And through the preaching of the gospel, God's people come to find out by revelation of the Holy Spirit what Christ has accomplished for us. and by an operation of God, we're born again and given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of our souls. Let's consider the second point. What these four lepers knew, what they did know. They knew they were dead men, right? They knew they were dead men. That's obvious. Look at verse 4. They knew that whether they entered the siege city or whether they stayed where they were or even if they ventured to the camp of the Syrians, that their life was forfeit. It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Look at this. If we say we will enter into the city, verse 4, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We're facing death already. Facing death. If we go in the city, we're going to starve to death. If we stay here, we're going to starve to death. So what's the worst that can happen to us if we go into the Syrian camp? We're going to die. Well, we're going to die anyways, right? That's what they're figuring. That's what they're figuring. It's said a dying man would do whatever is possible to avoid death. So these lepers had the camp, the gate before them. People were starving. They had the camp of the enemy before them. People were eating. They had the situation of staying where they were. They're just going to starve to death. And they had the situation, if they went to the Syrian camp, they're probably going to die. But what they needed to live was in that camp, wasn't it? It was in that camp. The one thing they needed to live, sink or swim. And you know what? Hunger will drive, as we saw last week with the cannibalism, hunger will drive people to drastic times and drastic actions. So these starving lepers, their need was so desperate that even the face of an enemy was not even a consideration. We're just going to go. We're just going to go. What will a dying, starving, spiritually bankrupt sinner do to get to Christ? When Christ has been revealed to them, what will they do to get to Christ? Well, they'll come against even the gates of hell, won't they? You ain't stopping them from coming to Christ. If the Holy Spirit's drawing a man or a woman to Christ, they're going to flee. They're going to flee. They will discount family. They will discount friends. They will discount former religion. They will discount anything and everything that stands between them and their God. Because what they need is only found in Christ. That's called irresistible grace. When God's drawn a sinner to Christ, we can't resist it. We don't want to. We're made willing in the day of God's power. You won't have to give an invitation or come up with a simple plan. Just get out of the way. Just watch what God does. Oh my. Sinner friend, don't wait to flee to Christ. So many people say, well, I'll just wait. I'll wait till tomorrow. We've seen in the last few weeks some disasters happen where those people thought they had tomorrow. Right? They thought. They did not know that was their time. That they had an appointment. So people say, oh, wait. You might die. You might die that night. My, oh, my. Flee to Christ. If you're under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God, flee to Christ. May God make you willing in the day of His power to flee to Him. He's the only hope of sinners. He's the only one who can save your eternal soul. Hell awaits you if you perish in your sins. It's a fact. It's not a scare tactic. It's a fact. Repent and flee to Christ. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And what does the Spirit and bride say to you? Come. Right? Come unto Christ. There's life and a look to the Savior. And what did Christ come here to do? Well, he came here to save his people from their sins. My. Now these four lepers, they knew they were doomed. They knew they were doomed. They again had the city gate there. They had the city where horrible things are occurring. They had the Syrian camp where all the enemies, death's all around them. In their eyes, they're doomed. And if they had died, they would die trying to get food. We're going to see that. Now, our third point is, what did they do? Look at this. Well, they went to where the food was. They went to where the food was. They were driven by hunger. Oh, what happens when God's drawn a sinner to Christ? We're driven by hunger, aren't we? And we still hunger and thirst after righteousness even now, don't we? Oh, yeah. My, oh, my. They were driven by need. But more importantly, they were guided by grace. Let that be the most important thing we see here. They were guided by grace. They had a great need. They were hungry. But they were guided by grace. Do you know God guided every one of us to Christ? Isn't that amazing? You know, he turned every one of us to Christ. We were going this way. And he turned us right around to look to him. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful, man. I'll tell you what. Well, they dragged themselves with their fate and energy. They probably didn't have much energy left. But they dragged themselves to that Syrian camp. We don't know how far their leprosy was either. We don't know. But we know they probably dragged themselves there. When you're starving, you don't have much energy, do we? No. And as they were like dead men walking, beloved. What a picture of us in our natural state, eh? Oh, my, they were walking into the jaws of death. So they thought. So they thought. Look at this. Look at verse 5 again. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. There was no one. They were gone. There was not one Syrian left. There was no more soldiers. There was no more servants. They were gone. All of them. And everything was left behind. They arrived at the edge of the encampment in wonders of wonders. In simple words, it's said here, so that we can understand it, there was no man there. Some say, well, that's impossible. Nope. That's what God's word says. And by faith we believe it. There was not one left. Somebody says, surely there was a few people mulling around. There was not one left. They're all gone. The enemies are gone. They're all gone. Where'd the enemies go? They're gone. They've been scattered by the Lord. These lepers being delivered by God, hadn't they? What a picture of grace, beloved. What a picture of the mercy of God in Christ to his people. And then there's no enemy to oppose them. There's no man where they have to announce their fact that they're lepers either, is there? You notice that too? There's no one there where they have to say, unclean, unclean. There's no one there. The enemies are gone. All they do is receive this bounty. It's all there. Right in front of them. Now look at verse 8. What do they do? I like this verse. They filled their belly. They stocked their reserves. They buried some goods. And they did it twice from what we see here. And when these lepers came to the outermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, and carry thence, look at this, silver and gold, the two most precious things for trading at that time. Silver and gold. And raiment. They could sell the clothes too, right? And went in and hid it and came again, and they went into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it as well. They're like squirrels. They're storing stuff, aren't they? But there's so much, isn't there? They've taken all that they need, and there's still more. God's grace, beloved, will never be exhausted. Will never be exhausted. And what mercy and grace are set before us is, what else would a sinner do when he comes to Christ but partake of the bounty of all the spiritual blessings they have in Christ? We rejoice in that, don't we? We embrace that fact that we have all these spiritual blessings, not by anything we do, but all because of what Christ has done. It's wonderful. What would a dying man do when there's nothing but abundant life before him? But to seek to secure a future. Nature dictates a love for self, but the Spirit dictates that though the bounty is ours and nothing is withheld, to not report the bounty is ill-conceived. We see that in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So what did they do? Yeah, they went and told it. They broadcast it, didn't they? They went and told others, didn't they? Look at this bounty. Look at all we need is right here. They went to the gates of the seas and cried aloud of the destruction of the enemy and the bounty that was there for the taking. Look at verses 10 and 11. So they came and called up unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house wherein." And we see in verse 9 that they feared sitting on the good news. Today was a day of good tidings, they said. For though we preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, our dear beloved brother Paul said. And every gospel preacher will say amen. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. God's people, we cannot be kept from bragging on the Lord. It's going to come out. It's going to leak out. Scott Richards said, the Lord saves you. It's going to leak out. I like that. Because it will. It'll leak out. We desire to tell others about this wonderful bounty we found in Christ. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. And now we desire to tell others, don't we? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw that stream, thy flowing sound supply, redeeming love has been my theme and will be till I die. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ today as tomorrow may never come. We can be gone in a millisecond. One thing is sure, death is sure. There's an appointment for everyone that we will not miss. Death is sure. And eternal life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's nowhere else, is there? There's nowhere else. May God give us grace to rest and trust in Christ. And if you do not know Christ, who will hear this message, may God give you grace to flee to Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Brother Dave, can you close?